Lord have mercy, that's a reading. And if you weren't depressed yet, you probably are now. How do we have hope in the midst of this? I mean, did you read that? But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And I read that without my glasses on. I'm so proud of myself. Judgment. There are some of our brethren and sistren, in the more conservative expressions of the faith, who simply cannot wait for these days to come. They see themselves as being raptured by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are premillennial dispensationalists and postmillennial dispensationalists. The premillennial dispensationalists say that the elect of Christ will be raptured from the earth before the millennium, before the tribulation starts. And the postmillennialists say that it will happen after the tribulation. And I was asked at my presbytery examination for ordination, they said, "Dr. McKenzie, are you premillennial or postmillennial?" I said, "Man, I am pro-millennial. I'm for it whenever it wants to happen." Almost didn't get ordained for that smart aleck answer. I know you have a hard time imagining that. Let me share a few of my thoughts with you very briefly about the coming of Jesus Christ, the judgment on the world, and the rapture of the church. First of all, number one, it's going to happen. Scripture says so. The promises of Scripture always come true. Not always as we expect, but they always come true. Second of all, nobody knows when it's going to happen. Okay? Scripture says not the angels in heaven, not even Jesus himself, only the Father knows. So you can take that bumper sticker off your car that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." We don't know when it's going to happen. Third of all, we can trust that when it happens, whatever manifestation it takes, it's going to be good and it's going to be just and it's going to be merciful, because that's how God has revealed himself all throughout Scripture. And fourth and finally, and perhaps most importantly, when it comes, God is perfectly competent to handle the entire affair without my assistance. Four things. Memorize those. Take them to bed. We don't know when it's going to happen. We can trust God with it when it happens. And finally, we don't need to stay awake at night trying to figure out how we can be of assistance in it. Nothing you or I do will hasten or hinder the kingdom. That's God's business, not ours. And whenever you run for the office of God, you're going to find one heck of an incumbent. I can promise you that much. But there are, according to Scripture, some common sense things that we can do as we wait and as we hope for God's kingdom to be consummated. Jesus says, first of all, pay attention to things going on around you. Mother Army, in her infinite wisdom, always stressed something called situational awareness. Situational awareness, which means simply know what's going on around you. If you go to Lenox Square in Atlanta, and if you walk at night from, say, is it Rich's or, no, it's all Macy's now, isn't it? I'm old Atlanta. I can't keep that stuff straight. If you leave the department store at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and it's dark and you've got a bundle full of packages and all you're thinking about is I want to get home and get off my sore feet, guess what? You are a perfect target for people who have ill intent and whose sole goal for that night is to deprive you of all those packages and perhaps the limited coin that is left in your purse. Situational awareness. Always know what's going on, and not just at Lenox Square, wherever you are, and not only physically, but spiritually. Always be evaluating. What is God calling me to do today? Live in relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And insofar as you're able to do that, albeit not perfectly, we haven't crossed Jordan's chilly stream yet. As long as you have situational spiritual awareness, you're going to be okay. Jesus says, consider the fig tree. When it begins to green up and leaves sprout out, you know that summer is near. Now, when I was growing up, my grandmother had a huge fig tree in Ansley Park in Atlanta. And I could not wait for the figs to ripen up. I love figs. Unfortunately, so do bees. Learned that lesson the hard way. And now I have a fig tree in my backyard. And guess what else loves figs? Bears. Yes, they love ripe figs. And I have to get out there early in the season to harvest my figs, knowing full well that after about a week or two, I'm going to have nocturnal visitors who are bigger than me. I know that's hard to imagine. But Smokey the Bear comes and pays a visit to my fig tree every year. Pay attention, he's saying. These are the signs. When the figs begin to show up in the summertime, you know that it is summer for sure. And I can't wait for those figs, but I have to. Because Mother Nature will not be rushed. And so Jesus says, be spiritually aware. And finally he says, do this consistently. Do this without worrying about the day or the hour when the master is coming. Because if you're doing this consistently, you're going to be okay. He goes on to give this warning. Well, I need my glasses for this one. He says, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. Be aware. Be about the business of the kingdom. Some people would read this and say, does that mean I shouldn't sleep anymore? No. God designed you to have rest. But God also designed us to pay attention. There is this troublesome passage in here where it says, this generation will not pass away until the end comes. Some scholars think that that may mean that generation in which Jesus lived. But I'm not kind of that restrictive about it. This generation can mean any generation at all. You see, God inhabits eternity. which is not linear time as we experience it, this generation, I think it means all of humanity. And so one generation is not picked out above all others to be alert, be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your spiritual construction. We're all called to be that way. And that is indeed a great promise. God does not tell us when it's going to happen, but we know it will. And because of that, we have this marvelous entity in our lives called hope. They who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, it says in Isaiah. They will renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Paul talks about hope. It is the essence of things not seen. Things hoped for, but not seen. And then he says in another passage, hope does not disappoint. I want you to think back. Think back, like I asked the children this morning. Do you remember Christmas mornings when you were a child? I sure do. In fact, we've got some of those wretched home movies of Christmas. We have one in particular. The children coming down, you see, Dad, you had one of these movie cameras and it had a bank of lights that shone with the brightness and the heat of the sun. And we had to wait until it was all set. And so we're hoping, we're upstairs hoping for all these things we have picked out in the Sears wish book, you know. And Dad's saying, "Wait a minute, camera's not ready." What does that do to your hope? It just kind of feeds it, doesn't it? You get more and more hopeful about what might be down there. And so finally he says, "Okay, come on down." And we all come rushing down the steps and we get blasted by this light and Dad standing behind it taking pictures. In one wonderful year, my sister threw up in Technicolor. It was one of the heights of my youth. But then we get down there and it was all laid out. Santa Claus had come, and all the presents were there. And the electric train was going round and round with that fake smoke coming out of the smokestack. You remember those? And then a few years later, it was slot cars. That was a big thing. And Dad had the slot cars going round and round. And then my brother got one of those service stations where you turn the crank and the elevator took the little toy car up to the top. Yeah, you're all nodding. You remember this stuff, don't you? And let's not forget the candy that was in the stocking. It was enough to make you sick for a week. We had hope then. We need to recapture that childhood hope. But in this case, it's not about what we're being given. While we're waiting in this in-between time, we hope about what we can give. What we can give to our community, to each other. And I'm not talking dollars and cents. I'm talking about presence. Not present, but presence. Our being here for each other, our bearing up each other in times of sadness, our celebrating with each other in times of joy, our celebrating with each other in these festival full seasons of life. That's the best thing we can give each other. And I'll tell you for sure, it's the best thing that we can receive. Caring, hoping, and sharing that in the community in so many ways that we do here and do so wonderfully at this church. It's not about getting toys anymore. It's about getting purpose and being situationally aware enough to perceive what that purpose is and to go out and dare to live it. Every Advent and Christmas season to me is holy. Every Advent and Christmas season to me is joyful. Every Advent and Christmas season to me becomes a part of the tapestry of my life. And when the tapestry is finally finished and the Lord decides to look at it and inspect it, I hope he'll see the bright colors of fun and fellowship and service which have been woven into me by so many different churches and people and love. Let us pray. On that day, O Lord, well, we worry about it, but help us to be expectant and situationally aware. Help us not to lose sleep with anxiety, but rather grant us good rest that comes as a result of honest work and situational awareness, and grant that all that we do in this time may be in accordance with your most holy will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.